You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. And welcome to St. John's for worship this evening. Yes, my mic is on. Good. Today is the sixth Sunday in the season of Easter. As you may be able to notice from the bulletin and from some of the things on the screen, it's also going to be the Sunday, Confirmation Sunday, when six of our young people are going to stand up in front of the congregation and confess their faith in their Savior and receive communion for the first time. So, it is a special service, but it really is going to focus us on our resurrection reality. It's a reality that is characterized, that's permeated by Jesus' love. That's what we're going to hear, especially in the second two readings for today and what we're going to hear about in our sermon. To guide our worship, we're going to follow setting 3 in the front of the hymnal that begins on page 188. And our worship begins with our first hymn, which is hymn 523, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. May God bless our worship.
We invite you to the worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Pastor Jordan Ertle will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17.
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
page 188. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. And for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. O God, you are the giver of everything good. Inspire us, your humble servants, to long for what is right, and through your gracious guidance, accomplish it to your glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. The congregation may be seated. Our first reading for today is recorded in Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 42. A woman named Tabitha, who loved as Jesus had loved her, sadly fell ill and died. But then she got a taste of the resurrection reality as well. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please, come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. And turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. And he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. And this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm for today is Psalm 89. The version we will sing is 89C. You will find that in the Gray Psalter book, not the Blue Hymnal, the Gray Psalter book on page 456.
Thank you.
Our second reading from God's Word is recorded in the first letter of the Apostle John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 11 and verses 19 through 21. Take special note, we will find some pretty striking parallels between this reading and our gospel reading in just a couple minutes. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Gospel according to John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. This will be the basis for the sermon. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. The congregation may be seated. We'll sing about that one command of Jesus that we just heard him give in the hymn, "This Is My Will," hymn 728.
Thank you.
Grace and mercy and peace, these things are yours in abundance from God our Father, through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our consideration today is the gospel reading we just heard, John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. Dear friends, if you had one chance, if you had the chance to gather around you the people that mean the most, the people who are closest to you, for one final time before your time in this world came to an end, what would you say to them? Would you talk about the weather forecast for next week? I mean, I think it's supposed to be nice, but maybe not, right? Would you talk about how happy you are that the Brewers seem to be doing okay right now? Sorry, not sorry, Cubs fans. Probably not. Would you tell them what you had for dinner two nights ago and how delicious it was? Nope. What would you say to them? Probably that which is most important, right? And so we shouldn't find it surprising then that in John's gospel, he spills five chapters worth of divinely inspired ink, recording in very great, minute detail the things Jesus said as he was gathered with his disciples on the night before he died. It starts in John 13. It goes all the way through John 17. That's almost a third of the whole Gospel of John is what Jesus said on just one night, the night before he died. That's also why during these final few weeks of the Easter season, we are focusing on sections from these chapters. Remember last week we heard about Jesus talk about how he is the vine and we are the branches, and that if we remain in him, we'll bear much fruit, because apart from him, you can't do anything. These verses here in John chapter 15 come right on the heels of those. And they talk to us, Jesus talks to us more about the nature of that connection that we have to him, the vine. And we hear from Jesus that it is a connection of love. And love is a word that gets used and overused and, yes, dare I say, abused today, right? What kind of love do you know? What kind of love do you have experience with? Maybe love between a parent and child, a child to parent. Maybe you know the love between a grandparent and a grandchild. The love between lifelong dear friends. The love between siblings, when it's not being peppered with moments of conflict and animosity. The love of a father, the love of a mother. Each kind of love that we experience in life is unique, each is special. But they all have one thing, two things I should say, in common. Number one, all of them pale in comparison to Jesus' love. And number two, they all have their source in Jesus' love. Because Jesus' love is the greatest of all. There is no greater love. Why? Our verses, what Jesus said here, gives us several reasons. The first of them being that Jesus' love is a fact. It's a done deal. Now, surely there are times when you feel love, right? Everybody likes to feel the love, right? On a special occasion like a birthday or an anniversary, Mother's Day. It's coming up, by the way, next weekend. You get gifts, right? You feel loved. You feel loved when somebody gives you a hug and embraces you. You feel loved when somebody gives you words of encouragement and builds you up or does something nice or kind for you. And in the same way, maybe you feel loved when God gives you this blessing or that blessing. When God answers your prayers that you've been praying for a long time, and He even answers them in the way that you were hoping and asking Him to answer. It's nice to feel the love, right? But what about those times when we don't? What about those times when we don't receive gifts or hugs or kind words, but instead we actually get the opposite? We get pain or bad news or words that hurt. What about those times when, in His wisdom, God sees fit to take this or that blessing away? Yes, even and especially the blessings that we were so used to having, that they became a normal part of our lives. What about those times when you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and God just doesn't answer your prayers in the way that you wanted Him to, or maybe it doesn't seem like He's listening at all? At those times, do you feel the love? And whenever you can't sense something, love included, it's easy to start to think that it's not there at all. So maybe you've questioned whether or not you have God's love. And you wouldn't be alone. Yet do my feelings change facts? Nope. God's love for you is not determined how you feel or don't feel in a given moment. Listen again to what Jesus said. He said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." So regardless of how I may feel, Jesus' love for me and Jesus' love for you is a fact. That's the way He puts it here. He puts it in a tense that describes an accomplished action. It's done. You can't change it. There's no time machine to go back and undo it. It's a fact. And did you notice the comparison that Jesus made here? He said, "As the Father has loved me." In other words, in the same way that God the Father loves God the Son, so too does God the Son love you. Do you think there is anything lacking? Do you think there's anything missing in that divine love between God the Father and God the Son? No, that's about as perfect a love as you can get. Well, that perfect love is love that you have from Jesus. Human love is one thing. But Jesus' love ain't no greater love than that. And so surely there is no more comforting, there is no more beneficial, there is no more wonderful place to be than within the bounds of Jesus' love. And so it makes sense that Jesus would urgently tell His disciples, you and me included, to stay there. Remain in my love, He says. How? If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And so when Jesus tells you, hey, remain in my love by following my commands, do you think, no sweat? That sounds simple. Hardly. Because certainly I can think of times when the devil has been successful in convincing me that somehow God is fickle with his love, as if he gives it in one moment and then withdraws it in the next for one reason or another. Yes, there are definitely times that I can think of when I have sought first the things of this world, and I have relegated seeking first Christ and his kingdom, his rule in my heart through faith, to the back seat. We put that on the back burner in the priorities of my life. Why? I have more important things to do. I got deadlines to meet. There's money to be made. There's good times to be had. There's an entertainment and relaxation to enjoy. There's sleep to catch, and there's all the things to do, right? And surely I can call to mind plenty of times when, despite the patience and the kindness that God has shown me, I've turned around and I've treated my neighbor with hostility and with pettiness, flying off the handle in anger at the drop of a hat. And many times, despite the fact that I may not want to admit it, but there are plenty of times when my pettiness and my hostility was a product of my own very limited, very skewed perceptions that turned out to be not reality. So I treated people harshly for reasons that weren't real to begin with. And the list can go on and on, but one thing is abundantly clear. I don't deserve Jesus' love. But he still gives it. It's still an accomplished fact. And he gives it not because of me, but because he wants to. Because I need it. Because you need it. And doesn't that just showcase how wonderful this no greater love of Jesus is? After all, we human beings, we tend to make relationships and the love that is shared in those relationships transactional, right? I give this, I get that. You give this, you get that. I give love, I expect to receive it in return. I get love, well then I suppose I'm obligated to give it in return, right? That's not how Jesus' love works. That's not how true love works. Not only is this no greater love for you a done deal, perpetually complete, but Jesus gives it exclusively for your good. Not his own. He said, greater love has no one than this, than that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends. Jesus didn't stand to gain anything for himself by laying his life down on the cross. The only thing to be gained the next day after he said this, the only thing to be gained from all of that was forgiveness for sinners, salvation for sinners, life for sinners who deserve death, your forgiveness, your salvation, your life, and mine. He laid down his life, taking our place underneath sin's curse. He was the one who was forsaken And that's not a matter of feeling, it's a matter of fact. And he did it for us. He sought not an earthly kingdom for himself, he sought an eternal kingdom where he could be with you forever. A kingdom populated by nothing but sinners whom he had given all to redeem and save. No greater love than that. And that love, that saving love, is powerful love. It's love that has an effect. It's love that changes things. It's love that changes people. It's love that changes hearts. It's love that changes you and me. It changes what we do and how we do it. And so if I should find myself guilt-ridden and frustrated as I examine my own sin-stained life, then the solution to that is to stop looking at me and my lack of love and start going to the place that is the endless fount of love, where there is a limitless supply of forgiving, saving love, and that's at the cross of Christ. It's not my love, it's his love. Jesus said, you did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. There he is making reference to our reading from last week, right? And as we heard last week, a branch bears that fruit. Why? Because it is connected to the vine. So just as a branch gets the nourishment it needs to bear fruit because it's connected to the vine, so too do we get the love that we need. Not just so that we live, but so that we bear fruit. That's the effect. Listen again to those words that we heard from 1 John 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And that word ought isn't like maybe, it's not like I should probably do it. That word communicates a debt that needs to be paid. Yes, you and I have a debt to one another. What do we owe each other? We owe each other love. And where do we get that love? We get it from Jesus, because it's not my love, it's his love. Given to me, given to you, that we wouldn't hoard it to ourselves, but so that we would give it recklessly to anyone, to everyone, to whoever needs it. And last time I checked, everyone needs it. It's his love, yet you and I get to give it as though it were our own. How great is that? There's nothing greater. There's the love of a child, and there's the love of a parent, and there's the love of a grandparent, and there's the love between friends, and the love of a mother and the love of a father. Each is special. But all other love pales in comparison to the fount and source, the biggest and best, the no greater love of Jesus. And so may God graciously keep us in that love, receiving it by faith, reflecting it in life. unto life everlasting. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll join together to confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The congregation may be seated for the prayer of the church. And as you see indicated on the screen, it is Confirmation Sunday this Sunday, and so we will include a special prayer for our confirmants. We pray. Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the suffering and death of your dear Son. Through him we have confidence to enter into your presence and bring you our prayers. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit. Let the love of Christ fill your church, that it may flourish in all good works. Be with our confirmants who will confess their faith publicly in you and your salvation this weekend. Help them to know better and better, more and more with each passing day, your love that saves them, that will bring them to their eternal home. Keep them in that love all of their days. Help us show love and compassion for all who are in need. Bestow on the nations of the earth knowledge of your mercy, that they too may turn to you and find salvation in you and your saving love. Strengthen our faith that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our bodily needs. Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness or danger or frail health. We pray for your blessing and continued care for baby Grace Smittle, whose condition has improved. To those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid. Help us patiently endure any chastening or any afflictions you may permit to come into our lives, knowing that you are going to use them in love to prepare us for that joyful communion with you, which is ours for all eternity. Accept our prayers and intercessions. Provide for all our needs, not because we're worthy, but for the sake of Jesus, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. A reminder, if you brought an offering with you this evening, please leave it in the alms box in the back. And with that, we will continue with the sacrament. Would the congregation please stand?
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord. Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who by his willing sacrifice on the cross took away the sins of the world, and by his glorious resurrection restored everlasting life. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, Lord God, eternal King and gracious Father. In love you made us the crown of your creation. In mercy you planned our salvation. In grace you sent your Son to redeem us from sin. We remember and give thanks that your eternal Son, Jesus Christ, became flesh and made his dwelling among us, that he willingly placed himself under the law to redeem those under the law, that he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death on a cross, that he's destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so bless us as we receive your Son's body and blood in this sacrament. Forgive our sins, increase our faith, strengthen our fellowship, and deepen our longing for the day when Christ will welcome us to his eternal feast. Praise and thanks and honor and glory be to you, O God our Father, and to your Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we pray as Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. I confirm members of St. John's and our Sister Wells and ELS churches to please come forward for communion. All things are ready. please stand for the Thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Therefore, we eat this bread and drink this cup. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. O God the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve you day after day. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. The congregation may be seated. And we'll close our worship today with hymn 697, May We Your Precepts, Lord, Fulfill.